It's time to listen to the interviews from Island Life on Saturday, the 1st of October 2011. Island Life is our weekly magazine show focusing on Waiheke people, events and issues. It's brought to you every Saturday morning from 10 to 12 by The Village Butchery. You'll find them at 102 Oceanview Road, Onirua. On Saturday, the 1st of October, Emma Bower Warner talked to David Basham about Mental Health Awareness Week. She talked to Linda Savage about the play Abigail's Party and the Waiheke Theatre Company. She spoke to Martini about the New Zealand political scene, and she said goodbye to former Waiheke Radio DJ Arthur Heyman.
Hello, David.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. And he's just popped in to... So this is our very own David Basham, who presents, what's the show called?
I do Out of the Blue.
That's it.
And I also do In a Mellow Tone on a Monday night.
That's the one.
Which is now 2 hours.
Oh, fantastic.
Yahoo.
Excellent. Okay, so that's a little bit high there. So, you're popping in under a different capacity though today, aren't you?
Yeah, it's my Out of the Blue Friday program hat.
Right, okay, which is the mental health.
That's right, and I was just going to talk about the Mental Health Awareness Week.
Yes, that's coming up shortly, isn't it?
It's Monday week.
Monday week, so what's the date of that? 8th or something? 10th of October?
10th.
Monday the 10th of October. So what does that mean? So what happens? Are there events going on around the country? Is it a national?
Yeah, it's a national program.
Yep.
What's happened is the Mental Health Foundation... They have since 1993 had a Mental Health Week, which coincides as far as possible with World Mental Health Day.
Right, okay.
So what they do is they take the World Mental Health Day theme and adapt it to a New Zealand idea.
Okay.
And this year they've, if people look at the website, which is mentalhealth.org.nz. That's
yep.
The one. I can't quite see it from here. And you'll see that it's actually got a sort of a rugby tone. You'll see the picture there. It's got, if you look, it's a bigger picture and you can see it's a rugby jersey. It's got someone's hand there over the badge. And it says, get in the game, train for happiness. And that's the idea of it. And they followed... from another overseas project, Foresight Project, and there's 5 ways of improving your life.
Okay.
And they're actually on there and on the site, and if I can remember them, actually we could probably bring them up if we just went higher up on that page. Yeah, they're connect, give, take notice, keep learning and be active. And they're the 5 things that they found really worked when they did that Foresight program in England.
Oh, okay. So they're sort of the 5 strands and the things that they promote to people to try and remember to do. So if there's somebody perhaps in your family or in your whānau that you think may be having a few issues at the moment, because let's be honest, I think it's something like 1 in 3 people, isn't it?
Yep, it's pretty high.
1 in 3 people will have some sort of mental health issue throughout their lives. And that's quite a big deal, isn't it? I know. I've experienced it within my own family. Some mental health issues, some depression, and that's really hard to deal. Really hard to know what to do and how to help. But Mental Health Awareness Week is something that I think is really positive, because that actually encourages other people to be active and support people as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, there is no secret that I've suffered from depression myself. That's not a secret. It's well known in the industry and it's well known on the station. Otherwise, I wouldn't be doing the mental health program. But the idea of the five
strides,
points that they've made is to connect. That's to connect with people.
Yes.
And they talk about Facebook and Twitter.
Yep.
All these things are explained on the website. Give of our time. When we give, we feel better. Take notice. Look out what's going on around you. Don't get caught up in all. It's not always all about us.
Yes.
It could be about other things out there. Keep learning. One of the greatest things that you can do is to keep learning. That's been a wonder for me on the radio station.
Oh, really?
The amount I've learnt about jazz is just incredible, and it's exciting.
Yeah.
And I think I saw on the Good Morning program the other morning, there was some ladies who'd set up a website for older people to keep learning.
Oh,
and that's
lifelong learning is the key. As an ex-educator, I know that's the key. My gramps in his 80s decided he wanted to know what was going on with the internet, and so he enrolled in the local college, further education college in the UK, and went on an internet how to use the internet beginner's course and loved it. Thought it was fantastic.
And they can keep track of their grandchildren. And they can send things overseas. A lot of people are in New Zealand and they've got relatives overseas, and it's a long strain.
Yeah.
But grandparents can be on the net. They can Twitter. They can have Facebook. They can do Skype. They can do all of those things. And a friend of mine says whenever she wants her computer fixed, she calls the old boy, because he's lived there for years. Everyone calls him the old boy. She just calls the old boy in, she said, because he can fix a computer. And he went and learnt from the senior net. And the final one is one we can all take note of, and something I don't do that well: be active. You don't have to run, you just can walk.
Yeah.
But you've got to get out there and do it.
From an exercise perspective.
Yep, just be active. Get out there and do it.
That's the best thing. I know whenever I've felt blue or down, the best thing I can do is actually to go out and just have a little walk. It doesn't have to be a big hike with my hiking boots or anything, but just a little walk just around the place and getting some fresh air. I also, it's interesting, no matter how cold it is, if I'm feeling a little bit blue, it sounds silly, but I won't put a hat on, even if it's freezing, even in the UK winter, because the feeling of the air around my head and the wind just clears all those cobwebs, literally. And there's obviously a lot of cobwebs in my head. And it just sort of refreshes and lifts one's mood.
Yeah, I actually love going down to Onitangi or Oniroa when there's a storm on.
Yeah.
I love walking in that. I just get really excited about it. It's just something amazing.
That's something very simple, and of course it doesn't cost anything, but it's something that people can do, and it's amazing how a little walk can lift your spirits. And the thing on Waiheke is, 9 times out of 10, you'll bump into somebody you know.
Oh, you do.
Always. Yeah, and, you know, and that in itself, just to say hello to someone or have someone say hello to you can really lift you, can't it?
Yeah.
So, for Mental Health Week, going more directly back to that, is there anything going on specifically on the island?
Yes, there is some things. Not many, but there's some things going in town. On the island, I'm going to talk about what's going to be on the island next Friday, because the manager from Puretahi Services is coming, and we've been trying to put some things together, but it's quite involved when you're working as well. But there are things in town.
Yep.
But we're going to have an exhibition in the library, because it's Training for Happiness, and that's a lot around positive psychology.
Yes.
So we've got posters, we're going to have books there that you can look at, books you can borrow, so you can get an idea of, because positive psychology, it's really developing in a way. It's not just these self-help books.
No.
Books.
It's just positive.
They're moving on. Yeah, they're moving on things to thrive.
Yeah.
How you can thrive. They're getting away from this think and grow rich sort of style, because it just doesn't. They've discovered it's not working.
Right.
The guy that wrote Authentic Happiness has now come out with a book called Thrive, and he says that what he wrote in the beginning in another book was wrong.
Oh, really?
Positive psychology, he wrote, and he said he didn't think he got it right. So Thrive is trying to correct it.
Excellent, okay.
Because you can't just do all this positive thinking. It just doesn't work. You need to
have some actual strategies in place
to
do something.
And, you know, these mantras and positive affirmations and things, they've really found that they really don't work.
Oh, that's interesting. Mm. That's interesting, because I know positive affirmations have worked for me in the past if I was nervous about something, or when I used to go on stage, I used to have little mantras I'd say before and doing big presentations. I am confident, I feel great, I'm going to be fantastic. But I suppose if you're talking about actual people with serious mental health issues, they need something a lot more in depth than that. Yep. I can see that.
They sure do. Yeah. So there's lots of things on, and they're under a What's On part of that website. And you've got Rethink. Rethink is absolutely fabulous. Rethink is acting, poetry, really clever, clever people who have been through mental illness and develop short plays, poetry.
Okay. So it's kind of a multimedia type thing.
Yep, and that's really wonderful to actually go and see. So that's on, it's called Rethink Possible Worlds, and that's on the 14th, 15th and of October.
Yep.
And it's at different dates, and I can't quite tell where it's on. But if you click on the dark words, we will get something. There we are. It'll tell us where it is. See, I know my way around the site,
but I
haven't had time
it's
to
on
put
in,
it together.
Newton, 17 Galata Street at Galatas. So I'm not sure if that's a little theatre.
Yes, it is.
Oh, is it? That's great. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, pop in onto the website and have a look at that. There's Friday night, the 14th, there is an evening show. And then on the Saturday, the 15th, there's both a matinee and an evening show. So, that should be
that
good. That
is really fabulous.
Yeah, it looks fantastic.
It really is worth going. And I think another person who's on the station, Sharon, who does this program on a rotation, she was involved with one of those productions earlier this year.
Right.
Or was it last year? I can't remember, but she was involved.
Fantastic.
We didn't actually know each other then, so we hadn't really talked about it, but she's involved with those. It is fabulous stuff.
Brilliant, brilliant. Okay, well, thanks very much, David, for popping in. Let's just reiterate, if you want to check out anything about the Mental Health Organisation and Awareness Week, the website is www.mentalhealth.org.nz. And the website, I must say, is actually quite fantastic.
It really is good. Just one little more thing.
Oh, sorry, yes.
On, if you can go down further, you have to go back a page. Yeah. We're really good at this. you can see I popped in and say, hey, can we talk about this? If you go down, there is a big, what they call, fiesta on in Auckland.
Oh, Fiesta in the Park.
That's it, Fiesta in the Park in Ponsonby. Now, that's the park that's right up near K Road.
Yep.
And the date is...
That's on next Saturday, Saturday the 8th.
Right.
That's between 10 and
that
4.
That is... Like Rethink, that fiesta, I'm not a great one for those, but I'm going to be there. It is so much fun. When they say it's a family day, they really mean a family day. The guy Fagan, Andrew Fagan, Emma Pucky, there's some high quality musicians, actors, performers come along. You'll be surprised the number of people who contribute, and you'll go, oh, do they suffer from depression? You'd just be surprised.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it is a great, great day. It's wonderful for children. It's just one big, it's a big, and there's a lot of Latin music.
Oh, fantastic.
Fiesta in the Park is really a fiesta in the park.
Brilliant. Okay, but if you want to party in the park and listen to some good music, that's next Saturday the 8th of October in the Western Park on Ponsonby Road, and that's on between 10 and 4. So go down and show your support and have a bit of fun listening to some music. Have a bit of a boogie in the park.
Right. And you're the only person who's been able to shut me up on the radio. Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
No, thank you very much, David.
Yep.
So, first of all, I'd like to welcome... Who would I like to welcome? Linda Savage. Hello, Linda. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you, Emma.
Hold on. I'm not sure if that's picking that up there. Say that again. No, just come over to this mic over here then. That's great. I can't seem to get that one working. So there we go. So let's try that again. Hello, Linda Savage. How are you?
Hello, Emma. I'm absolutely fine. And how are you?
That's great. Thanks. That's the mic we were using earlier on. I should have just told you to go and sit there. Can you actually perch on that chair? That's great. Okay, so you're here with... Oh, you have so many hats, lady. So many hats. So today you're talking just briefly about Abigail's Party, but mainly we want to talk about the Waiheke Theatre Company. Duh, duh, duh.
Duh,
I know. But so let's just chat quickly about Abigail's party. I know we had somebody in last week talking about it, but I believe it's been going really well.
It is, and you had the gorgeous Beverly and her dear little neighbour Angela in to talk to Island Time last week.
Island Life.
It's going fantastic. We've had really good responsive audiences. We've had lots and lots of laughs. The cast have loved it.
Brilliant.
We've got.
Let's backtrack a little moment. Abigail's party. Oh my gosh, there's somebody walking around with a chainsaw. Anyway, let's just carry on. We're a weird lot here at Wakey Radio. In the middle of a meeting, and he walks through the room with a chainsaw. Anyway, what's Abigail's party about? For those people that might not know.
Okay. Go from my memory now. I've not got my notes with me, but basically, it's about a party. It's about Beverly, who wants to be hostess with the mostess and show off all of her hostess skills and her beautiful home.
Is it 70s or 80s?
1970s. It's about the sort of aspirations of people wanting to be more middle class and show off. So this is Beverly really trying to show off and control the whole evening, and she invites Angela, who's lives a few doors away, and another neighbour, Susan. And it's about the relationships between them, and also about the relationships between Beverly and Lawrence, the downtrodden poor Lawrence, who's completely controlled by his wife.
Right, that's Beverly's husband, isn't
it? Yes, and it's really good. I mean,
so it's all about relationships, basically, and it's a little bit of it is about sort of class and people, that aspiration of people wanting to better themselves and wanting to. That's quite a British phrase, but wanting to keep up with the Joneses.
Absolutely,
I was a Jones for a few years.
Was
anyway,
you?
Yes, I was. Yes,
you know, it's things like cheese and pineapple
on sticks, little sausages.
Yes. It's so lovely.
Yeah.
And also it's about smoking, in terms of they don't stop smoking, particularly Beverly. The old, you know, in the 70s everybody smoked. And just to all the listeners to know that we don't use real cigarettes.
Oh, no.
But they are amazing. They look so real.
Mm.
You actually have steam that comes out of your mouth that looks like smoke.
Oh, right.
And you can buy different flavours.
Fantastic. I see.
Yeah, I can see myself wanting that on my Christmas list.
Okay.
Great.
Great. Okay. So how do people get tickets? How many more shows? Let's talk about that.
Okay. Right. We've got a show on tonight that starts at 6:30. And then we're on Friday and Saturday next week. The Saturday show next week again is 6:30, but the Friday show next week is 7:30 start. Tickets are available from Shop The Rock. Now, we know that we have sold a lot of tickets for the last night. So
is next Saturday the last night?
Next Saturday is the last night. So if you want to go to the last night's performance, then I suggest you make a move pretty quick because it's limited seating because of the way the set's designed. So go and get your tickets, basically.
Right, okay. So you've got three chances. You've got tonight.
Yep.
And if not, next Friday and Saturday.
Yep.
Right, okay, great. All right, fantastic. Well, really looking forward to that. I think I'm doing The Door next Saturday.
Yes.
Yes. So if your name's not on the list, you're not coming in. Anyway, so let's talk about the Waiheke Theatre Company.
Yep. Right. This is the first production put on by the Waiheke Theatre Company. And the Waiheke Theatre Company was driven mainly by John Brown, as you know. And he spoke to a number of really good, talented people on the island, of which, of course, you are one of them.
Well, thank you. You have to say that. She has to say that. She's in my studio. But anyway.
And everyone was really, really keen to put on some really high-quality productions on at the theatre and around the island, you know.
Yep, with homegrown talent.
With homegrown talent, and because there is so much great talent on this island, again, of course, of which you are one.
All right, stop now, Okay. I have paid her. I've paid her for this.
So, yeah, so it's kind of in its infancy at the moment. There's still things that we need to sort of think about its structure and the way that it works, et cetera, et cetera. But it really is the beginnings of something quite great, really, because everyone's so keen to be involved and watch the space, because there'll be productions getting in that calendar pretty soon.
Fantastic. And, of course, it's kind of been born from what was Waiheke Festival Players.
Absolutely.
Which was... which was an awesome organisation that I joined when I first came to the island, and we did, that was 6 years ago now, that we did Talking Heads and did the monologues. Also you did
Under Milk Wood,
that's before I came. And what else did we do?
I can't remember. Those were the two main ones. They were excellent. And the cast was absolute quality.
But I think it's that whole, it's that thing about sort of taking things to another level and stuff. And when you have ex-professionals mixed in with people that are still learning their craft, it ups everybody's game.
And that's
I think what's happened here with Abigail's party. Which is really great, and it's fantastic for the island to have Waiheke Theatre Company sort of rising from the ashes again, because we really need that. It's something that's really, really missing, and I think it's been a notable absence. So well done, John Brown, for driving that. He's a one man dynamo, isn't he?
Really? He is, and I think it's great for Artworks Theatre. You know, I think what really for me, the Fiddler on the Roof production put on by the Choral Society really opened up that theatre to so many people. They had full houses most nights, and I think a lot of people came that hadn't been before.
Right.
And they saw a really good quality performance, and they'll see the same thing with Abigail.
Yeah.
And everything that the Waiheke Theatre Company does will be professional. Well, not professional, but
we'll
of that standard.
Level. Yeah.
So, you know, I think the theatre's really, really going to start buzzing. It's going to become a real live place to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally agree. So, fantastic. Thank you very much for that, Linda.
I just wanted to say that if there are as well people like actors, writers, directors, anybody that's listening that's really keen to get involved in theatre and find out more about the Waiheke Theatre Company, to give John a call, and I'll give you his number on air. It's 372-9123.
That's 9123.
Absolutely.
And if you can't remember that, just look up Kiwi House.
Yes.
Because that's his as well.
Yes. So either way, you'll get hold of John Brown.
Yeah, John Brown is
Kiwi House.
Yes, yeah.
9123.
What was that? 9123.
Absolutely.
Okay, 9123. I'll remember that.
Good on you, John. So we hope to see people tonight. Come and see Abigail's party. If you can't make it tonight, get there next week. It's the place to be and the party to be at.
Absolutely fantastic. And so that, if you want to Waiheke Theatre Company, just once more, that's 9123, and John will be pleased to give you some more information. Okay, well, thanks very much, Linda, for coming in.
Waiheke Radio.
I'd just like to welcome Michelle Barber.
Oh, thank you, Emma.
Hi, Michelle, and you're here with hat of being the coordinator for the Garden Safari this year.
That's right.
Awesome thing to get
I'm
involved
loving
in.
It
are you?
Yeah, it's fantastic because it's such a great cause, and these gardens are absolutely amazing.
Yeah,
and everyone works so hard for the trust.
So let's talk about the cause, because there may be a few people listening that don't actually know where it stemmed from.
Basically, Greg Dean started the trust after his daughter Jazzy Dean passed away from meningitis back in the early in 1994. And he then started this trust to help families with their sick children and just all the costs that are associated with living on Waiheke and having kids that are going to hospital or special doctor's appointments in the city with ferry tickets and transportation in the city and on island and special doctor's appointments that you need extra cash for that you don't always have, you know? I mean, lots of people, when their kids get sick, you know, they need to quit their jobs.
Yeah, of course.
And there's no money for petrol and there's no money for groceries. And so the trust, Jazzy Dean Trust, steps in and helps families kind of stay on their feet during this really hard time.
I can't think of a better organization, to be honest.
Yeah.
That's a Waiheke
really
organization,
cool.
And we should be so proud of it. And indeed, we are proud of it.
Yeah.
So what does the Jazzy Dean do now then?
Well, Jazzy Dean Trust still helps out families.
Yeah, sorry. What I meant was with the Garden Safari.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, it hasn't suddenly spread into a rock concert or anything. Yeah.
No. The Garden Safari was started in 2000 as kind of an extra fundraiser for the trust.
Excuse me.
And, you know, I mean, this is all this kind of, you know, mastermind of Greg Dean, and he's just really kind of put this all together, as well as the trust in general. And, you know, they've done a great job, just kind of, you know, it's now in its 11th year. This year we have 12 gardens to visit, and it's, you know, the really opulent, luxurious gardens to the cool gardeners. Kitchen garden and rose gardens, and they're kind of dotted all around the island.
So how many are in?
12 gardens 12, this year. Yeah. Yeah. So, cool. And, you know, and it ranges from 12 to 14, depending on the year, basically. And they're all springing.
Yeah.
Right.
So are you coordinating the volunteers as well?
I'm coordinating the volunteers, and, actually there's someone from the trust and from the committee, the Garden Safari Committee, who's actually doing the volunteers, and that's Anna Lowe. And if anybody wants to volunteer, we could definitely use volunteers for this year's event. We've got a few other surprises and special things that are going on that we need extra people for.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, fantastic.
I'll get there. But yeah, Anna Lowe can be reached at volunteer@jazzydeantrust.co.nz.
Cool. And if you can't remember that, you go onto the Jesse Dean website and that
exactly
and find your way through there. I know that it's an awesome thing to volunteer for. When we first moved to the island, and we'd been here, I don't know, six months or whatever, I was teaching at the high school and somebody asked whether I could spare the weekend. And we both volunteered for the weekend.
Yeah.
And it was awesome.
Was
we
it
met
fun?
So many great people.
Cool.
And we just saw so much sort of cool stuff on the island.
Yeah.
And it was just a real, everybody's so pleasant when they're sort of involved with this and when people are going around having a look. It's just a really feel good kind of thing.
It is. It's fun.
So I'd wholeheartedly, if you've got a bit of time, what weekend is it again?
It is November 12th and 13th.
Yep.
And it's 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah. So if you've got time to volunteer, even if you know you want to go and see the gardens yourself, just you could volunteer for a few hours or something and that would just be such a help.
Just give Anna send Anna an email.
Yeah.
It's great.
Take it from there.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
So, a lot of the gardens that have been used previously, they're there as well, but there are some new ones.
There are, I would say there are about six gardens that have been in before and six that are new.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that keeps it fresh and exciting.
It does. We have a few special things going on this year, which is this year we're doing something called Waiheke Art in the Garden. And what that is Waiheke artists and that have been placed in many of these gardens, in 10 of the 12, and they're showcasing their work.
Oh, fantastic.
All their work's for sale, and all these artists are giving 25% of whatever they sell back to the trust to help more Waiheke families.
Oh,
so,
that's fantastic.
Cool, huh?
Brilliant.
Yeah.
So, how'd you get tickets?
Tickets for the Garden Safari are available at Take Note after Thursday.
Take Note,
And if you buy your tickets now, the early bird price is $25 for the entire weekend, not just each day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and then after the 25th of October, they're $30.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
So well worth doing that and supporting it. And we get so many people come from off-island.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
heaps
about half.
Of people, come from off-island as well. So make sure you get your tickets, localers.
Cool. Yeah, please, 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 please. And we're also doing something. We're doing this Waiheke Art in the Garden. And then one of the gardens, which is out, Jackie and Chris Reeves, out past Whakanefa Park, they are dedicating their garden to Lauren Harvey, who's just recovered from leukemia. And so it's an entire fairy garden.
I was going to say, is it a fairy garden?
It's a fairy garden.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's a fairy garden, and all the kids will be in fairy wings, and there'll be bubbles and fairy cakes and all kinds of a wishing well, and people can help out the family. So, yeah.
Oh, fantastic. Okay. That's excellent. That's, that makes it... that really sort of brings it home, doesn't it? When there's
a
local family that are going through difficult times now.
Yeah.
And
they
need that love and support.
Definitely.
That Waiheke gives so fantastically.
Oh, so much.
Do you know, I just feel so lucky to live here.
Same.
Oh, I could cry.
Oh.
A little bit emotional. Okay, well, thanks, Michelle, for popping
in. Thanks
for
having me over.
A busy weekend, and it's always awesome to see you and and the brood
and
popping in.
The rest of my kin.
Absolutely.
Cool.
So thanks very much.
You're listening to Waiheke Radio, 88.3 and 107.4 FM.
So I'd just like to welcome Martini, the navigator, who's doing his neck rolls as we speak. Hi, Martini.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, well, a bit tired,
are we? Did we have a late night?
Kind of.
Did we have
Some
a little bit of a
the
party?
Rugby, I love the rugby.
Yeah.
You know?
I didn't need to listen to the score. I could hear you.
Yeah, that's right.
Only kidding. It was great.
Yeah.
Could hear lots of fun and laughter.
Yeah, we had lots of fun.
So, anyway, you're here to come and chat about the comments that have been made about the non-link between crime and poverty.
Yeah, I find it actually very irresponsible of a minister of police to talk like that. It feels to me, you know, they're shuffling that very important issue under the carpet. It's hardly ever... I mean, the statistics speak for themselves in terms of poverty, in terms of child poverty.
Yeah.
And to me, it's a sign of a society which doesn't seem to care because it doesn't appear to go away. And in fact, it gets worse and worse. And I'm not surprised by that, because that's the political system we have at the moment, the free-for-all.
But it's the denial of the impact that one has on the other, of poverty, and how that I found particularly disturbing, to be honest.
It is very disturbing. Yeah. It's a horrific statistic, and, you know, I don't want to compare it to any other country. We shouldn't.
No.
We have to look at ourselves.
We do, but equally we can look at other, in my opinion, we can look at other countries and see how obviously poverty has affected the crime levels.
Yeah.
And I'm talking specifically right now about the UK.
That's right.
Coming from there and having just had the riots.
That's
and,
right.
And looking at how the areas that where the riots have stemmed from in the different cities in the UK. And you look at those being the areas of social deprivation.
Exactly. You know, I mean, how far do you have to look?
You know? That link is very obviously there. Also, being an ex-educator, an ex-teacher in the school system in the UK, I worked in some. I worked in a couple of really affluent areas, and hated that. To be honest, that was my own personal thing. I actually really enjoyed working in the socially deprived areas with the kids that were disaffected, and they're disaffected for a reason.
That's
and
right.
That reason is that they live in a poverty driven lifestyle.
Exactly.
Where the circle of life just goes on and on. You know,
it's an ongoing thing,
isn't it?
But at the root of it. I believe at the root of it is work, and not just work. It's meaningful work, and here in New Zealand, somehow a hell of a lot of jobs disappeared, and people, if you don't have a job, the amount of social security here, and I'm coming from Holland. You know, I'm born in Holland. In Holland, we had a principle of if you're on the dole or anything, you get a minimum wage,
right.
And the minimum wage is based on your cost of living. And it is my honest opinion that the amount of social services, if you are at the bottom line, you get a wage which is plainly not sufficient. And if there is this continuous no working, there is no role model for the kids, then that's what I'm exactly worried about. The statistics on the kids, they speak for themselves. And we have to look at causes for that.
Absolutely.
And we have to look at solutions for that. We are in an election year. I find it unbelievable, actually, you know, that...
What
are we talking about? We're talking about rugby. The whole country is on stop because there's a Rugby World Cup. But here we got major issues. And it appears to me, nobody is, yeah, the small parties are talking about it.
Yes.
But that's it.
Yes.
And then I get angry if I hear a minister of police coming here on the island and just say, oh, no, it's not there, it's just a bunch of criminals, you know.
Yeah.
And she talks about criminals, 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 and that's...
But where do they stem from? Why do people turn to crime?
I mean, exactly.
That's the whole thing, isn't
exactly,
it?
Exactly.
People
don't
turn to crime because they've got a good job and a happy life.
Exactly. We get bombarded on a daily basis of buy this, buy that, buy don't have credit. This. You can, yeah. If you don't have the money, just get it, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's a constant bombardment.
Consumerist
every
lifestyle.
Day.
Yeah.
Every day. We're forced, and that is the problem in a society like this. It falls to pieces if nobody buys anything. And
yes.
And so what are we doing? We're producing all these, you know, with the rugby. The one thing which I found very astonishing with the rugby, for example, it's a bit away from crime, but
that's okay.
There was all this focus on rugby, but there were these inserts in the New Zealand Herald, and it was basically an advertisement for all these big fat TVs, you know, couple of hundred bucks each and bigger. And I thought, what are we talking about here? It's something is wrong. At the same time, they know everybody knows rugby, but can we afford?
Yeah.
Things like that. Mm. And
but
you
pushing
know,
it that to I watch the game, to be able to be a part of
exactly,
the World Cup,
exactly.
You have to have,
you know,
this,
you have to have this,
yeah.
and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, if you are in poverty, if there is no money for this, and if there is no work, you hang out the whole day. If there is not meaningful training programs for young kids, mm. because that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the next generation,
yes,
to
course.
Come here, you
yeah.
know?
Of course, the young people, the youth.
And
there used to be training schemes in the UK. I talk about the UK a lot because I refer to that because that's where my youth was and where my knowledge was. And there used to be, I think they were called YTS, youth training schemes.
Yeah.
And they were for kids that left at 15, 16.
That's
with
right.
no qualifications.
That's right.
But it would teach them a trade.
Exactly.
They would go into one. They'd get a small wage.
Yep.
But not only that, they would learn that whole thing about responsibility. They would learn about how you know, when you go to school, you just turn up and you're half asleep half the time, or you know, you're disaffected, so you're not engaged. But you'd learn about sort of responsibilities about having to turn up, having to be on time and working with other people. You'd learn all those kind of social skills
exactly.
as well.
Yeah, exactly.
As well as learning a trade. You
yep.
know, they'd have YTSs for all sorts of things. You know, working in supermarkets and learning how to go up into management. They'd have them for plumbers, mm. for chippies. Those kind of more practical skills as well that people need to learn. And God, we need plumbers. We need people
exactly,
that can gas
know?
Fit. We need people that can do all these kind of skilled things.
Exactly. Yeah,
and then they did away with it.
Yep.
They did away yep. with these schemes. They did away with that motivation. And according to what I've read, crime levels have risen ever since. And I'm not saying it's just because these training schemes don't exist, but meaningful engagement for young people is really practical and is really necessary. And it's very disconcerting when you've got people looking in like that into the studio.
Oh, but I never pay any attention to him.
What was that? Don't
I
pay
never,
attention. No. We've just got about 20 people stood outside the studio right now, all laughing and joking,
pulling faces.
And pulling faces. But yes. But anyway, I just think that I was shocked and appalled when I saw those comments.
Yeah.
And I think as well,
it's irresponsible.
Yes, I was just about to say. I think
it's
really
totally
irresponsible,
and this comes from, you know, a government which really don't want to build more and more prisons. Every now you see all yeah. these prisons being built, and then, but at the same token, she said crime is reducing, and then I go, well, if that's the case, why do you need more prisons
exactly.
then?
Exactly. Exactly.
What's the story here?
Yeah.
And it's crime is always a very difficult one to really define,
mm.
because you know there's so many different kind of crimes. And if I, you know, sometimes I read statistics and I go and I read the police statistics as well on and see what's where and this and that. And you got all these numbers, but it's only numbers, eh?
Yeah, and they can
and,
be manipulated.
And it's, you can do anything with
things.
Numbers,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I mean, if you, for example, you know, I don't agree with Don Brash very often, but if he talks about reforming the cannabis law, then I'm absolutely in favor. Because
yeah.
if you really want to get the crime numbers down, that will help a lot. A hell of a lot less people would go to prison and for all sorts of little things, wasting everybody's time, really. You
oh,
know?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
And in terms of... you know, drugs are very, very interesting defined in New Zealand laws and statistics, because the only drug which is specifically mentioned in the crime stats is cannabis.
Interesting.
And drugs like heroin and pee and crack and the whole bloody lot, which causes so much disruption to society. And it goes also again with poverty, because if you got nothing else to do,
you just sit and smoke weed all day,
you know. I'm not an advocate of drugs, you know, but that the law needs reforming.
The law does. I mean, it's what's the act? It's something like it's 1970s. The Drugs Law Act.
They're very old.
You know, it's old. It's outdated. And I think. There will be, there's still a long way to go before cannabis can be decriminalised, but I do think that it's something that's worth talking about. Again, I'm not an advocate of drugs in particular. However, I'm definitely not amongst our youth, but I think cannabis is something that definitely could be reconsidered. If you look at the medicinal uses of it, look at how it's worked in Holland.
That for starters, you know, I mean, it was a medicine, you know.
Let's
be absolutely clear.
Yeah. So I think that's a discussion worth having. I do find it odd who it is that's advocating that.
I couldn't believe my...
I wonder where that's coming from. Could it be because there's an election coming up, methinks, and, you know, the cynic in me... thinks it could just be a really it's got him a lot of media attention, hasn't it?
Well, it does, and I think it's necessary. There has to be a discussion on that. It's
absolutely.
It's again with crime and poverty.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah. Drugs are linked. Of course, they are.
Crime gets all the attention, eh? Mm. The any TV program, whether it's TV One, TV Three, or Sky, you name it, crime is always the items they open with. And I sometimes I go, why is that necessary to continuously mention about crime? And I believe it's you know, they have to do that so we can build more prisons, we can get more police. And political parties are too afraid to take radical steps.
Of course.
And to find the real solution. Instead, it's dithering on you know, how many new police should we get. Well, where are all these policemen going to come from? They have to come from overseas. They come into a society which they don't understand.
Are they having
to solve our crime problems? I don't think so.
No.
Has to come from within, from ourselves.
I wholeheartedly agree with you, and just to sort of round off our discussion, I think it's really interesting, as you said, that these comments are being made just as we're approaching an election.
That's right.
And personally, I was appalled. And actually really saddened by the lack of sort of comprehension and lack of I think you may have said this earlier on when we were chatting, lack of care.
That's right. It's a manifestation of an uncaring society, because the system dictates, it's everyone for themselves.
I totally agree.
You know, but they forget that for some people, it's a hell of a lot more difficult to get where you really want to get. And I agree. Everybody has the same possibilities for starters.
Yeah.
But coming into life, you know, if you have to grow up in, in poverty, where there is real hunger, where the kids don't go to school with a breakfast in their tummy, I think that's totally unacceptable.
I agree.
Caring that must be at the root of society.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you. Thank you very much for coming in and talking to me about that, Martini.
My pleasure.
I think it's an interesting topic, and it's something I could sit here and chat to you all day. It's something really close to my heart as well. It's a sad indictment at times when
it is,
a leading politician comes up with silly comments like that.
I still hope the All Blacks will win the rugby, but after that, it's really time we start focusing on this election.
Yeah, absolutely. I think having the election so close to the rugby, now a few people might be a little bit worried. But anyway, that's up to them. That's up to the politicians. Thanks again for coming in.
You're welcome.
So, we're just going to finish off today's show with a record that our very own DJ Arthur, Piers Heyman, who sadly passed away very recently. He presented his show Arthur's Roundtable on both Waiheke Radio and the former Island radio station at the beach. Now, Arthur had a great rapport with listeners and was really fantastic with people in the community. He was also an author and a member of 1970s, the Piers Heyman and John Cooper, an English-Dutch folk duo who worked out of Harlem. So I'm just going to play a track that they did, and that is City of My Dreams. And we wish you all the best, Arthur, up there in the big dream boat in the sky.
Sometimes through the rain, I see the walls of a far-off city, tall distant towers, shining in the beam of sunlight. And when I'm lost in the tangled bars of love and pity, the sun is gone, I travel on, there's nothing else to do. Troubles to the left of me, problems to the right, and there's nothing underfoot but shifting sand. And I try to remember, where, oh, where have you gone? Shining city of my dreams. Sometimes on the way, I touch the hand of a passing stranger, glad to be together. We rest ourselves in words of comfort, warm round the fire. We tell our tales of conquered danger. The moment's gone, we struggle on, there's nothing else to do. For he must go his way, and I must go mine. The shadows are full of wounded friends, and I try to remember, where, oh, where have you gone? Shining city of my dreams. Sometimes when I'm down, I tell myself I was only dreaming. The walls were only mountains, the towers just a trick of sunlight. Why waste my time when all around the gold is gleaming? Sip the wine, take what's mine, there's nothing else to do. Diamonds to the left of me, rubies to the right,
but the light that they give is just reflection. And I try to remember, where, oh, where have you gone? Shining city of my dreams, where, oh, where have you gone? Shining city of my dreams.
You've been listening to the interviews from Island Life, our weekly look at Waiheke people, events and issues, every Saturday morning from 10 till 12, with interviews repeated on Wednesdays at 7pm and Thursdays at 12:30pm. Island Life is brought to you by The Village Butchery, the place to go for great cuts of meat and friendly service. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Onirua.